You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday the 2nd of November 2018, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. We're not actually live today, this is pre-recorded, but we do have with us the producer of Adolf Hitler, the Greatest Story Never Told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic Victors of World War II, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Well, yes, I am alive.
Good man. Good man.
I wouldn't say we're closer to alive than death, but I am alive.
You're transitioning between life and death, are you?
Oh, don't say that. Transitioning.
Well, what we've got today, what we've got for you today, we've got questions and comments. Because as you are all aware, Dennis had a new video up the other day, a couple of weeks back, on Fatima. And it is actually available in the UK as well as in America. And there's about 300 or so comments on there. Lots and lots of comments there. Lots of interesting ones, I think, that we can get into today, Dennis. Yeah, but I mean, just before we get into that, though, how is the documentary coming along? Have you been working on the final episode yet?
Well, believe it or not, yeah, I've just been I've just begun to start it. Like I said, I've got my ending, I think, but I definitely got my beginning because James Perloff is an American historian who I noticed quite some time ago was saying things exactly what I'd been saying in The Greatest Story Never Told. I don't know whether he's watched it or not. But he does a radio interview and he actually talks about Hitler and he actually says, if we knew somebody today who fought the Freemasons, who fought the Zionists, who fought the bankers, who fought the Bolsheviks, and a couple of other things, yeah. And he says, wouldn't you think you're a great guy? And I'm going to start with that because it's so true.
Definitely, definitely. It's looking good. It's looking good. Are you concerned about these new European Union laws? I noticed in one of these comments, someone's saying, "Well, that's only in Europe. You will still be able to have an outlet in America." Is that one of the reasons why you're thinking of finishing the series off? You're concerned about the new EU laws?
Well, I mean that did play a part in it, but the fact was that you know these documentaries, Ben, they're hard work. I mean. Altogether 18 hours, and there's a hell of a lot of research goes into one. I might even take a break for a while yet, you know what I mean? Because it does drain you, especially when it's not always happy news. And so I thought, I can't really say any more about it. I mean, I could, but it wouldn't really make much difference to what I've already said. So I thought, if we can have a nice, crisp finish, then I think that'll be right. Because, so like I said, three documentaries, they're all only 6 hours long. It's a lot of work.
Anyways, I can remember you saying after Communism by the Back Door that was it. You weren't going to make another one. And then I think about 6 months or a year later, you started doing Freemasonic Victors. So yeah, no, never say never. I guess is what I can say there.
Well, I'm also thinking as well today. Believe it or not, I don't know why, but I was thinking about you know the war and obviously I lost family at Bloomberg. And that's my dad. You know, that's a couple got away, but you know, most of them got put on the death march. And I've never blamed the English for that. You know, realised, even Hitler realised that, you know, the Jews are running things and people just can't work it out or know where to start working it out. Because people in England, for instance, do not realise they've been under it for 200 years, more maybe. And so I don't blame the English for it. I know the soldiers, you know, they did it because the duty didn't apply to the Germans at Nuremberg. But the fact is, how were they to know it were Jews what were doing it? Because they're being targeted now. So I've no grievance. I don't know what I thought of actually, but I just thought I'd say it.
Well, it's only today really that, you know, people can wake up to these things because they can research it for themselves on the internet. There was no internet back then.
Yeah.
You know, we only had one TV channel, if that. The newspapers were all in the hands of the Jews. It just wasn't possible to find these things out, which we can now. We have to be very careful of projecting the way we think and the way things are now back into the past. and assuming it was the same, because it wasn't. If it was the same generation now, back then, I believe we would have just continued, we would have done the same things, because we're the same people. They weren't any different.
Yeah, well, I've met some great people, you know, in my life, English and British and whatever. So I really don't blame it on, because I can always remember Hitler saying at one point that the people are fooled, but you can't blame them for being fooled because these are so clever.
Yeah,
so, you know, unjanded.
Yeah, well, there's also the bit in the Bible as well. It says if people are lukewarm in their appreciation of the truth, then they will be struck blind and they won't be able to see the truth. And I think we see that a lot, a hell of a lot. Yeah. You know, there but for the grace of God go I, and, you know, you have to travel a mile in a man's shoes before you really understand why he does things. You know, I think this is why we're told not to judge other people, really. It's because we don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's strange that they're now being picked on by the same crew. You know, they're under threat.
Who's that?
Amazing. And they won the war. The English. They won the war. Yeah. I thought they won the war. And the Germans, and I've researched that this week about German torture Germans, after World War II in prisons. But the English thought they won the war, and the French thought they won the war, but they didn't win the war because now they're going to turn on them.
Well, that's just it. We're certainly paying for it now, aren't we? We are paying for what we did. And this fits in with a question that's later on as well, but it's like national karma, isn't it? You can't get away from that. You can't,
but these people are evil bastards, you know.
Certainly. But, you know, we didn't listen to the Bible. We didn't listen to Christian faith. We allowed the Jews back into England after kicking them out, and we've only got ourselves to blame, really. For doing that. It's the same with feminism. You know, we can talk all we like about the evils of feminism, but we still have a third more body strength than women. They are, feminism. Feminism is by our permission. All it would take was for men to just say, right, we've had enough of it, and there would be no more feminism. So really, you know, we do have to look at ourselves. We can't just blame other people all the time. All right, let's get into these comments and questions. The first one is a comment, and it's from Light Yagami, and he says, Patrick Fitzgerald, I was in Mauthausen in Austria. There is a book of all the names who died in this labor camp, and if you go to R, you can see 9 Rothschilds, which I thought was particularly interesting. In one of these labour camps. I mean, how many were you aware of that were in the camps, Dennis?
Well, in Austria, I mean, I actually answered with this comment. Actually, I said, can't understand why you didn't ransom all 9 then, because they certainly ransomed, you know, the main Rothschild there for a record fee. And then, like we said in the series, there's a couple being killed as well during the war. So it certainly was all of his relatives, if he was a Rothschild.
Well, perhaps there were lesser known ones. I mean, we know about the main Rothschild clan, but surely there must have been others around as well that weren't part of it.
Second cousins,
or whatever. Yeah, I just find it interesting. You know, that's the sort of thing that people should be doing, is go to these camps if you live in that area and check these things out for yourselves, because I'm sure there's other evidence that has yet to be discovered that proves our position. You never know what you're going to find. Now, and the next one's from Rosette Delacroix, and she says, I found out a lot from Dennis that I didn't know. I made a video on my channel comparing Hitler and Jesus and how the Jews treated them both. And I thought, well, yeah, this is something that, we need to make more of. Hitler did at the time, didn't he? About the way that Jesus was persecuted by the Jews. And then you've got the National Socialists with this very, very similar ideology of putting the nation first. And again, they're persecuted by the Jews. That's why they held Jesus up to be a hero, an Aryan hero. I mean, they wouldn't have it. Anybody who said Jesus was a Jew, they wouldn't have that. They would be kicked out of the party. Even the pagans wouldn't say anything so stupid as that. Yeah. They saw Jesus as an Aryan warrior that fought against the Jews, particularly in the temple when he threw out the bankers and the usurers with his whip. And that was that's cited, I think, by Hitler and by Goebbels as being an influence on them. Well, the next one is Sandy Flutespot, Benji Chunks. And he says, yes, mate, the world was flat, then it was round, now it's flat again. So do you think it was convenient that the Jewish community were put into work camps ahead of the mass bombings on German cities? If not, why not? Because on my reckoning, if that was the case, then would that not at least raise a little suspicion that he was a Rothschild's agent? Well, that's the first time I've heard that theory, that the Jews were put into these camps to save them from the mass bombings of German cities. But how does that fit in with all these lies about them then being gassed? I mean, the mainstream narrative is that they were all gassed to death, and that's why they were put in there.
Well, I answered that one. I wasn't 100% sure that the Jews were moved out of the city centre. Last I heard, I think Ernst Lutton were talking, said there were a synagogue working all the way through the Blitz. Or the German Blitz, not the London Blitz. But one thing I did learn was that Hitler gave an order to all the camp commanders, if the Jews or the communists start to riot, shoot every prisoner.
They would have to, though, wouldn't they? I mean, they would have to because of the position they're in, because they're outnumbered. If there's a riot,
not only that, he didn't want them breaking out and going into the towns and attacking civilians. So that's what he said. He said, shoot every one of them.
Well, I think a point can be made that, I mean, I've made this point before as well, probably you have as well, Dennis, that the people that were actually within the work camps were in better conditions than the people on the outside, because they had rations, they had food, they had medicine, they had a hospital, they had everything that they needed. The people on the outside had nothing. They were living amongst rubble.
It's funny you say that, because like I said, I've just been doing some research this week on after the war, and there were 250 prisons which held about 1,000 prisoners. And in one particular prison, this prison officer prison commander called Lola, who was in Auschwitz, believe it or not, but survived, there's a shock. And she decided to apply for this job in Poland. And she got it, and this guy who's doing the research and talking about it, he's found the documents and when she started, whatever. He says, and he met her for dinner. And he says, like, and it's true what she said. She did have the job, and she was in charge of the Germans, but she weren't telling all the truth. Because when he went on to discover that, she actually said at one point to a prison officer, we got treated a lot better in Auschwitz than we treat these prisoners. And the thing was, they got tortured every night, this men, every night. And they weren't even soldiers, some of them. They were just ordinary Germans. And people were being killed, and then secretly put in a wagon under some potato peels, taken to a mass grave. This is after the war. So this is a survivor of Auschwitz who's now killing Germans with various means. In fact, one lad, lad's son or something, but he had black trousers on anyway. Anyway, they picked him up, they put him in prison, and they poured gasoline over his hair, and he went to his head.
Terrible. Terrible. They
something like that happened at Auschwitz.
Well, they've got all this stuff on at the moment about Chris Tarrant, I believe it is, going on these train journeys, trying to say about these trains of death and how if it wasn't for the trains, all these Jews wouldn't have been gassed. And they're just constantly making these stories up, really, just trying to make white people feel bad.
Hodgson took the English team a few years back when they were in the ball for the European Championships or something, and they took the whole team to Auschwitz because he's a Jew.
Well, they're doing that a lot, aren't they? They're saying that they want to take football fans to Auschwitz to force them to go through Holocaust training to stop them being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I like to keep politics out of sport, but obviously they don't.
Well, I like Croatia. Aren't they still banned from having any football matches for having a swastika on the pitch or something?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. I don't know what stuff they were with, but they popped down, but they tried to get rid of it. And they couldn't get rid of it. And they were playing the game and you could still see the outline of this swastika. Oh, God. I better know that, people.
I just think that's really unfair to punish the club like that. I mean, obviously it wasn't the football club that did that. It wasn't the football team that went out there at night and mowed a swastika into it. It's
someone else. I've been in that game. they don't actually have a league in Croatia. All the players go abroad to play. So how they get to World Cup finals is beyond me.
They must be pretty well to do that. But they had a match the other day and there was nobody at the match because nobody's allowed to actually go to their football matches because of this swastika. But yeah, they must be pretty angry at the Jews still in Croatia, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
To be doing something like that. All right, let's get back to these comments and questions. Morpheus Pharmaceuticals. He says, I don't disagree with you, but what about the black sun? Isn't that an occult symbol? That doesn't make it pagan, obviously, but it certainly isn't Christian and seems to be antithetical to National Socialist ideology. Just curious as to where that came from and what it has to do with National Socialism. Well, I think, you know, I've talked about this quite a lot about the black sun. If you actually look at the symbol itself and what it is symbolizing, it's symbolizing the opposite of the sun that we see. The sun that we see that lights everything up and that gives us heat, it's the opposite of that. So what is the opposite of that? Well, it would be an invisible sun, a light that nobody can see. And if you look in the New Testament, there's a reference to Christ being the light that no man has ever seen. And I think that's what the black sun is referring to. It's referring to life itself. The material sun is an imposter. It doesn't actually give us life. It can sustain it on earth, but it isn't what creates life. It's God that creates life. So a symbol for God, a symbol for Christ, is the black sun. And if you look at the word for it, sonnenrad, which means radical sun, original sun, it's saying that is the original sun. And the sun that we have, the material sun that we have, that is a shadow of the real sun. It's a shadow of the real thing. And you can extrapolate from that this whole earth that we live in is just a shadow of the real earth. Again, that's talked about in the Bible, the new earth and the new heaven. And this is a shadow of it. This whole world is a shadow that's full of corruption. It has death in it. It has disease in it. Even if you look at the way the universe is and the year itself, the year isn't, it's not exact. It's 356 days and you have to add a leap year every 4 years. Nothing is exact and perfect how it should be. And we know that God is perfect. It has to be absolutely perfect to have created the world, but the world itself is corrupted. So we know that there is more to life than this. And you can, you know, think about all that just by meditating on the symbol of the black sun. So I'd say it's definitely a Christian symbol. The only place it's referenced is in the New Testament, where it talks about Christ being the light that no man has ever seen. You certainly won't find anything about the light that no man has ever seen in, you know, Hindu texts or in pagan texts. You might hear about eclipses or you might see symbols for eclipses, but certainly not the idea that's behind the black sun. So I would say it's definitely a Christian symbol. And that's the only place that you'll find it referenced. I mean, really, when you see the saints with that light around their heads, it should be a black sun around their heads. Not the material sun, not the sun that's in the sky. The sun that's in the sky is a symbol for materialism and sun worship. And our ancestors didn't used to worship the sun. They weren't that daft. Yeah. They certainly weren't that daft. That's a non-white thing is to be worshipping the sun. And out in South America, they were sacrificing humans to the sun. Yep. And, you know, it's the opposite of all that. But people think that because it says black sun, oh, black, it must be evil. But what it really is the opposite of the material world, the opposite of materialism, the spirit.
Yeah. Well, I didn't answer this because I knew you'd answered it before that, but somebody jumped in before me. And they were going on about it, and they were saying we weren't paying it, and so I thought I'll leave them to it.
Well, it's something we've covered it a few times. We did a whole program on it at one point, so that's just sort of summarising it there. Okay,
you know, I don't like talking about the cult with people about Hitler because, you know, they're into Catholic mysticism, not Jewish.
Yeah, I mean, the swastika turns up a lot as well. I mean, sometimes people will say, the swastika is a pagan symbol. Well, I can say the cross is a pagan symbol. It's a hooked cross, and it's been used by the church for thousands of years. And it was been used by white men before that for thousands of years. It's just a form of cross, same as the Celtic cross or the...
There's a lot of travel as well, people.
Yeah, I mean, purity, doesn't it? The swastika is a symbol for purity and good luck.
We talked about this before, haven't we, about I told you that documentary was on. And the nearer the Jew got to this Hindu temple, the more he started sweating. And he went in through the door he managed to put the courage up to go through the door. He's covered in sweat, and there's just a massive great red swat scrub the floor. That were it. He went out. Well, so it reacts like a vampire to a cross.
Garlic to a vampire. But I mean, Jews, they can't stand crosses. They can't stand crosses so much that the addition sign in the maths books in Israel, they have a T instead of a cross sign.
Right. Yeah.
That's how much they hate the cross. And swastika is just a cross, basically. It's a form of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more to them, though. I think most of it's one of them Mr. Religions that keep from us. They're telling us what swastika is.
Well, I think with the swastika, you've got two things there. You've got the symbol of Christianity and you've got the symbol of National Socialism. So it's a double whammy. Against the Jew, isn't it?
That's enough, isn't it?
Right. Well, the next one, James Thomas from a week ago. He says, "Hello, Dennis. Do you think Ben Klassen was a possible Freemason? I ask because in his works, he has close to nothing but disdain for Christianity, calling it suicidal in nature and things of this nature. Do you know about Ben Klassen and his Church of the Creator?"
Well, yeah, a little bit like it. I managed to find a book which was written by a lady, and she actually said in the book that his work was so close to Freemasonry, it practically were Freemasonry.
Well, I hadn't heard about the link with Freemasonry before. I know I've had a look at his stuff before, and it is really, really intensely anti-Christian, and it's dishonestly anti-Christian as well. He misquotes things. He claims things that are actually there in the Bible that aren't there. And I think it's deliberate. And you only find that sort of visceral hatred for Christianity in the Talmud and among Jews.
My documentary.
People fall for it. Some good white people fall for it because he was very pro-white, but I don't really know how you can be pro-white if you're going to be anti-Christian as well, because Christianity embodies all the best things about the white man's character, his Aryan character: nobleness, mercy, justice, fight, laying down your lives for others, banning usury, no adultery, no miscegenation, all these things. So to say you're anti-Christian means you're anti all of those things, which goes against what it means to be white, I think. I don't know if he was deluded or whether he was Jewish. Some people say that he was. Other people get very angry at that and say, well, he was really pro-white. He certainly wasn't Jewish. But it is definitely Jewish to be as anti-Christian as he was. But Freemasonry,
well, right, I hadn't heard that. By Jews.
I hadn't heard of it. I hadn't heard about this, him being a Freemason, though, Dennis. Well, what bits of it were Freemasonic? Can you remember?
Well, she didn't go into detail. She just wrote this book on him, and just this paragraph saying that it was too close not to be Freemason, if you like. So I got back to him and told him.
Okay, well, the next one we've got here is from Deacon Dextra. He says, "Dennis, about Jehovah's Witnesses, what makes them a false religion of Christianity? I was grown up as one, and I know you are very busy, but please explain if they are the wrong people to follow. I was baptized Catholic, by the way, but raised following Jehovah's Witnesses." So what are your thoughts on Jehovah's Witnesses, Dennis?
Well, I weren't 100% sure, but I had little flashbacks come to me, and I had a feeling that they were like on par with the Mormons, because they were known to be into Freemasonry, subversive Freemasonry. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses were along them lines. But I said to him, my answer was that if you do find a connection with Jehovah's Witnesses and Freemason, then I would leave.
I think the thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're like a parallel secret police. They're like a parallel organisation. They will come round and they'll knock at your door. They will talk to you. And what you won't realize is that they're taking notes of everything that you said when they go back to the car or whatever. They write everything down. They write down everything that you said. They take that back to their kingdom hall, and they put that in a filing cabinet with your name on it. And then when they next come around in a couple of months' time, whoever it is that comes, it'll be somebody different that comes around, and they'll know everything about you. And the reason why they know everything about you is because they've written it all down. They're basically like spies. This is why Hitler banned them in Germany, is because they were a parallel organization. Sorry?
They've not knocked on the door for ages.
Have they not knocked on your door? No, they don't knock on my door anymore either.
Because I abuse them.
I know why that is. But yeah, but they are. They're like a parallel intelligence gathering organization. They really are. And that's why Hitler got rid of them. So besides the religious thing, you've got this secular thing that they do as well. The religious thing is, it's different. They might use the Bible, but they have a very different interpretation of it. And they do think that the Jews are good guys. So, one to avoid. Okay, next one is Wen Xiaoyang Chang. He says, Dennis, will you also be covering Jewish subversion in Asia in this series, since they are also subverting Asian countries just like what they are doing in Western countries, covertly? So what do you know about the Jews in Asia?
I remember them Jews we saw in that force we had when they all looked Chinese. I couldn't tell them were Jews, but apparently the Israeli flag behind them. I think the bottom line with me is that Japan wanted to stay their own country like Germany did. Didn't want to join the New World Order. Feared communism spreading into Asia from Russia. And did what they could to stop it. But then America put the boot in. That's basically what I know, apart from the early days of smuggling in all the drugs, opium.
They had a lot to do with communism over there. In China, didn't they? They were the advisors, I think, to Chairman Mao. And when you look at Facebook, whatever his name is, Schekelberg, he married a Japanese woman, didn't he?
He did, And, of course, at the end of the war, the Allies stabbed Chiang Kai-shek in the back because he were fighting communism. But they're always going to do because they were supporting communism. So they let it go on for so long and then give power to Mao. And then we saw another 50 million dead.
I think when we look at, the guy from Facebook that married this Japanese woman, we can see there exactly what the Jews did in Europe. They married the nobility. They married into the gentry so that they could be the aristocratic class, take over the aristocratic class. And I think what we're seeing there is that's exactly what he's doing, isn't it? By marrying Japanese. She's obviously going to be upper class Japanese and they're going to try and take over in that country. I know there has been exposure of the Jews in Japan, and they don't have the hate speech laws that we do, and there are best-selling books which are exposing what the Jews are doing.
The problem with Japan at the moment is the nuclear leaking, what's going on over there. There were 50 million tons leak the other week because they're not sealed in sealed units. They're not held in sealed units. They're like held in like sections of a unit. They had a leakage last week, and the fish apparently churning up in America, and they're giving up radio signals, I think.
Yeah, it's shocking. It actually slipped my mind, actually, for a while, that Fukushima tragedy. Yeah. Shocking. Okay, the next one we've got here, Samuel Joda Sweeker. And I think this is an interesting comment, this one. And this is referring to the Fatima video. He says, this miracle is only possible if the world is a realm enclosed by a firmament with a localized ethereal sun, just as described in biblical cosmology, as well as all other ancient cosmologies. And the point that he's trying to make there is the flat earth theory, that this miracle appears to confirm the flat earth theory. What are your thoughts on that, Dennis?
Well, I've seen a diagram of this flat earth with a dome over it, and some various people have said that it's been mentioned in the Bible, and the north, instead of being the North Pole, north is straight up towards heaven, and the south is, South Pole surrounds all this area, but there's a kind of a dome up there. Who put it there, I don't know, but that's what they say anyway. So we're actually trapped on this kind of island.
Well, I think we have a mass illusion, and what we see around us is a mass illusion, and the flat earth and the firmament, that's how things really are, but it doesn't appear that way to us. So I think that's what happened here. These people saw things how they really were, and it terrified them. That's the way that that I see it, which would fit in with the Bible, because I do think we do live in, you know, we are deluded, and we do live in an illusion. The actual sun itself, I think, is far more likely to fit in with the electric universe theory, which makes a lot more sense.
The moon is really, can never tell, can you?
Well, yeah, you don't know if they actually landed on the moon or not. And, you know, it's
it's a bit out. I don't believe they did, but.
But one thing about all of that is, I mean, is it really that important? Is it really that important that we see whether the Earth's flat or not?
Practical and God.
All the moon.
This Freemasonic glut for money, because you get paid fortunes, and they're not, they're not a national organization, private. Just like, you know, this glut for money from the Holocaust, and glut for money from Google and everywhere else. And these are all people who want to kill God, and if they can convince children that, you know, the universe was a big bang, then they're winning. They're a monkey or whatever.
Yeah, that ties in with it, isn't it? The idea that we have of cosmogony, and it's all been there for millions of years, and it was a big bang. Well, the electric universe theory counteracts that. The electric universe theory makes a lot of sense. I would advise people to check that out. I think the website's called thunderbolts.org or thunderbolts.com. Very interesting website. But, I do think that as far as making it your life's mission to wake people up to the fact that the Earth is flat or that the moon landings were faked, I don't think that's that helpful. You know, the real problems that we've got now is being replaced in our own countries. It's racial issues that cannot be fixed. You know, whether we've got delusions about things like the Earth being flat and landing on the moon, that's really not that important, is the way that I see it. Okay, we move on to MT Schnitzel. MT Schnitzel says, love that you got a clip from Brother Peter Diamond. I'm curious, is he aware of your work, Dennis? I saw on his website they have one video about Hitler, which is obviously propaganda and contrary to the greatest story never told. Tell us about Brother Peter Diamond, Dennis.
Well, I did a piece in Comedians by the Back Door, and he does know about me, apparently, because somebody was telling me. And when they asked him about me, the two brothers, I think, two monks, to call me the devil. So my answer to that were, well, if he'd said it to my face, I would have just said to him, you know, some people can remember the Catholic Church helping the Axis soldiers out of Europe. Obviously, you've forgotten.
How did you say I'm not Jewish? If he called you a devil, say I'm not Jewish.
Oh well,
I think this is
the
thing.
First time.
Most people are unaware of what really went on in World War II, and even the interview with Bishop Williamson, who is aware of the lies about the gas chambers, he still thinks that Adolf Hitler was a pagan. You know, it's very common that people just think these things because that's what they've been taught all their lives.
Well, what people can't get their heads around, Sven, is like, if God forbid that you died, right, and somebody wrote a book about you, who was your worst enemy, I don't think it'd be pleasant reading. And that's exactly what happened to Germany.
History is always written by the victors. So you're not going to get
it. It's never praising, is it?
No, we're not going to get a truthful view of it. Well, the next one is Marion Schabisch, and she says, when did Hitler receive a Requiem Mass, and how did the Catholic Church celebrate the birthday of Hitler in the Vatican? So how did all that happen? Tell us some more about
that. Well, that's another thing that Bishop Williamson didn't realise, I don't think. I actually found out about it, believe it or not. There's a book written about it, which is not praising Hitler, because they never do, obviously. But And he went into great detail to say that after he died, this is usual in the Catholic Church, by the way, but you have to be a Catholic, obviously, that, you know, if you don't get the sacrament, you know, from a priest, or you're not able to confess, then they will do a Requiem Mass, like, and being as Hitler was, his body was never found, you know. It's, I think it was all the German churches as well, they all had a Mass for him. Frankel came out with his statement, son of the Catholic Church, and the Prime Minister of Ireland, Southern Ireland, sent his condolences. So there were some people who were brave enough to offer the condolences.
So that's what a Requiem Mass is. So that's what a Requiem Mass is. It's if you don't get the last rites from a priest, then they hold a Requiem Mass for you.
Correct.
Okay. Well, what about this birthday in the Vatican then? What happened there?
Well, yeah, I mean, apparently it was, what's he called? He's tired now, isn't he? The two brothers made a lot of speeches and whatever. I can't think of his name. I use him in the documentary anyway. And he went to town saying, listed a lot of things of why he thought they were Catholic. And he said, explain to me why they celebrated his birthday every year, which nobody could. But they did every year. You should celebrate it because he was defending them from communism, I presume.
Hitchens.
That's the one.
Yeah. Hitchens.
He was a Jew and all.
Okay, well, Marion Shabish has also got another question, and she says, what can you say about the occult background of Hitler? And I'd say, what occult background? It's all made up.
I mean, if anything, right, the Vril Society, which didn't really last 2 minutes when Hitler came along, they were kind of looking into this, this key, this life force, which... the Chinese usually deal with. They were looking into the same thing and were trying to understand it, but it came to nothing. And when Hitler took over,
he got rid of the lodges, didn't he? He got rid of the Freemasons. He got rid of all the occultists.
I had arguments for years about that, calling Hitler a Freemason. And then when I did come in by the back door, I released that list of lodges when he shut down, and I've never had no hassle since then. So just to show that nobody, I actually said this in the other comment, nobody knows the truth about Adolf Hitler unless you research him deeply, because they've all told that many lies about him that, you've got to do your research.
Particularly Hollywood, I mean, they love to pretend that it was all occult and pagan and devil worshipping. They were doing it at the time. There was propaganda out with a knife going through a Bible and a swastika, and it was written in English. Written in English, not written in German. Okay, Divine Europa's got a secular question here. They say, Dennis, I'm not able to watch any of your Communism by the Back Door or SMV of WW2 either on YouTube or their websites here in England. Is there any way you could have them available like the GSNT videos on that website? Thanks again for all your work. God bless. Are you going to be putting up a website for...
We're hoping to, but funds are low at the moment because of this PayPal thing. We have to get our own servers, so we're trying to get there,
Have you been dropped by PayPal?
PayPal stopped all incoming. In fact, what happened was... there were a lot of people bought some DVDs, a good bunch of them, maybe 40, 50. And then PayPal froze the money. The DVDs landed, but the money were returned to the people who bought the DVDs. So they probably got a free DVD.
Well, I'd write to them. Maybe they can send it again by Bitcoin. If they're wealthy enough to buy 50 DVDs, they're probably, pretty honourable people. They might send you money in Bitcoin.
I'll leave it with the website and get on from that, but... it's difficult because we don't like to accept post orders of cash because you never know what's in the envelope.
Yeah, also, you've got where that's being sent to. You could set up a PO box, I guess. But you could always accept Bitcoin there, and you could set up, what's the name of that other company? Is it Square or something like that it's called? And credit cards and look into all that. I know you've got a really good team behind you. So maybe I could look into that.
You say it's dried up at the moment, though. I've got someone in South Africa who went through all the kind of problems. I might give him a quick email.
And if people want to watch your videos, there's a really good site. I think it's called Proxy Site. I put it in the comment section of I put it in the comment section in the last Truth Will Out podcast that we did. It's a really good proxy website. It's got about 25 different proxy servers that you can use in different parts of the world. So use that. Okay, your next one is from It's Okay to Be White. He says, great video as usual, Dennis. A few things I will point out. Brother Peter Diamond believes that Russia was already consecrated by Pope Pius XII, the true Pope, and there is evidence of it. So what do you know about that, about Russia actually already being consecrated?
I'd heard it. They were attempted to consecrate it with John Paul I think the second, I think it was the Polish one, Drew. We were kind of an attempt to just do a quick job and fob people off with. But I don't know anything about this one. And if it has been consecrated, nobody's told me, or Putin.
Yeah, I think because Putin was, you know, still asking about it, that tends to say that it didn't actually happen. Putin comes up in the next comment as well. This is from Cloverbird. They say, Dennis, your TGSNT did help us find God. But here we are confused, as it is well known that Putin is a Freemason and one of them to the hilt, friends with Kissinger et al. He does the signs all day long and spoke 33 words at his inauguration. Please weigh in on this. And if you need, we can share some videos, but it is easy to find searching Putin Freemason. And it seems like Brother Nathaniel hasn't addressed this or Masons at all either. So what do you think about this Putin being a Freemason and your views on Putin?
Yeah, well, he's too close to Netanyahu for my liking. He's very similar to Trump. They're opposite to what, say, Obama and Soros want, which is communism. I don't think Trump and Putin actually do something in Israel. But it doesn't really matter because it's just Jews arguing and Jews are going to win whoever wins. So there's that. But I also learned a fair bit about Freemasonry a while back, and one of them, I was always puzzled about, people were asking about Henry Ford, who gave a lot of money to Hitler, who brought out his own, spent his own money on books exposing the Jews and trying to subversion of the world, but he was 33 Mason, and so was John Wayne, who always hated communism. And then I realised that these were just handed out as, you know, just to make Freemasonry look good. When in fact, they didn't really know much about it, just took the award and no internet in them days. And also, what I learned is, you don't really go off the rankings of a Freemason if you know that they're, in the occult or not. Because a 32nd degree Freemason who has no idea about the occult, because you only get 33 degree, you're only told about Lucifer then, apparently. But somebody coming in on the first degree, who's got an occult mind, will know far more than anybody else higher up. And if everybody wants to go down that way, they've got these little private places where, you know, they don't have to do things in the lodge. These people can go and do the practices away, you know, sacrifices.
So you think Putin's probably given an honorary Freemason, like these people that get given honorary degrees?
No. I think he's a Freemason, just like probably Trump is a Freemason. And, you know, they're all aware of it, what's going on, but they just don't want communism.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain, I mean, all these world leaders would have to be. I mean, Putin would be because of his background in the Secret Service. I mean, the Secret Service is full of Freemasons because the Freemasons were the original Secret Service intelligence. Correct. A group of people there spying and a secret society. So very, very similar to the secret police. And his brother Nathaniel, I mean, he's a Jew. So why watch him anyway? You know, he's going to be, what he's doing is of benefit to the Jews. He's making people think, oh, well, the Jews aren't all bad. There is a possibility that some of them could be good. There's a possibility that some of them could help us. And that's just not true. I mean, Nathaniel won't talk about the Holocaust either. He won't talk about National Socialism. Obviously, he hasn't talked about Freemasonry. So he's covering up for these things.
Yeah. Well, is that the only one? Because like, I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, that I was surprised David Irwin never touched on Freemasonry. So, I mean, it's so significant into what this war was all about, and Hitler didn't destroy him for no reason. You know, but nobody's really, I mean, I might be wrong, but I haven't heard anybody actually, apart from the Germans, mention it.
It's the only time anyone, well, it's not the only time anyone's fought against Freemasonry. Obviously, the Catholic Church fought against it. The Catholic Church fought very, very strongly against Freemasonry. It was the main enemy of Freemasonry and Jewry. I mean, this is why people that are anti-Catholicism, they should think about that. They should think about the fact that the Roman Catholic Church was the number one enemy of Jewry and the number one enemy of Freemasonry. So for all its corruption today, there had to have been something very good about the Roman Catholic Church for it to be hated so much by those two groups.
Can I just say for 1,000 years at least, the Catholic Church protected Europe, you know, with invasions from Muslims and Jews and God knows who else. And, you know, without them, like I said, in the Dark Ages, we'd still be in there now if it weren't work for the monks who educated and taught how to farm these wild men of the north who were going out plundering. So, you know, we've got a lot to thank from, I personally have a lot to thank from for helping the you know, evacuation of Europe, when they were the first to deal with Hitler, and they were obviously the last to deal with Hitler. And it says a lot to me, that really does.
Yeah, I've certainly changed my views on Catholicism over the last couple of years. Let's move on to the next comment. I6My61 says, but why would God punish all of us who believe just for the sake of non-believers? And I'm not sure that's what's really going on. I think, you know, like I was saying earlier, you have the sins of a nation. You have national sins, and some things just can't be got out of. I mean, for every action, there is a consequence. If you're going to live in a world where you can make actions, there has to be consequences of those actions. And sometimes the consequences of other people's actions affect us. And that's why the consequences of allowing the Jews back into England is that the Jews run our banking system. Consequences of listening to the Jews are that we went to war against Germany. Consequences of defeating Germany is that we now live in multicultural nations, and terrible things are happening to us. We've got Muslim rape gangs, 1,400 girls turned into sex slaves in Rotherham, possibly 1 million girls in all have been abused by Muslims in England. And then at the end of Germany, you had, you know, 1 million German women that were raped by the Red Army. What did they do to deserve that? It's all a culmination of things that the nation have done. It could be things that people have done in the past, the nation have done in the past that caused it. But the way to look at it is that this life that we live here is nothing compared to eternity. It's just the blink of an eye compared to eternity. So whatever happens here really isn't that important. It really isn't. And, you know, logically you can think that when you look around. And this is why when I did that interview with Bishop Williamson, I asked him, you know, what is it that makes him certain that his faith is true? Because you need to have faith to get through the horrors of what's going on around us. So, you know, it's not that God is punishing these people. It's just the consequences of actions. It's a part of the rules of life that we have consequences to actions. And that, you know, that's what I see as being the reason why, you know, the believers get punished at the same time as the non-believers. Have you got any thoughts on this, Dennis? It's a bit of a deep metaphysical subject, isn't it?
He's referring to the radio interview with what the guy said. He was asking, you know, Father Malachy, whether it was close to the secret or not. And in it said, like, that all good will perish, you know, as well as bad. And some people look on that as, you know, that a God can't be that evil. But, you know, God made us, God decides whether there's a tomorrow or not. So, you know, I'll leave that up to him. But as far as I'm concerned, the evil don't get punished enough. That's my problem.
He has the right to end anyone's life when he sees fit to end it. And believers will go on to eternal life. That's the thing. The believers will go on to eternal life. You look at these early Christians, they willingly, happily went to their deaths, refusing to recant because they knew that what they had said was the truth, and they knew that they went on to eternal life. So they were happy to be martyrs. They were quite happy to die. So, you know, if you're a believer, then you're going to go on to eternal life anyway.
Well, Christ, I mean, the power of that man, I mean, 2,000 years, no TV, no radio, no printing press, you know, and yet he's been a thorn in their side for 2,000 years. And they can try and, you know, mix the things out on the internet saying he never existed and this, that and the other, but there's a power in that man.
Well, just the fact that we're still talking about it today, exactly. The religion has lasted all this long, shows that is what went on. And it's because these people willingly went to their deaths rather than recant. You know, that's a, that was a large part of it. I mean, that had a lot of effect on people. What you're talking about is eyewitnesses that saw these things. And nobody counted it. Nobody said, well, this didn't happen. They all said, well, yes, this did happen. It's like that Fatima miracle. Nobody says, oh, it didn't happen. Lots of people saw it. And it's recorded that it happened. So you have to believe that it happened.
I've said it before that I don't intend to convert people. That's not my intention. I'm just a researcher of history. But I'm surprised lately I get messages from people on YouTube saying they have found God through my work. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, that's definitely a good thing. But, I mean, you talk about the world the way that you see it. And that's the way that we see the world. That's how it fits. All fits together. This war that's been going on between Jews and Christians and Jews and white people. It's thousands of years.
The Germans set this dress off after.
What's that?
I'm determined to take this dress off.
Leave that till the end. Leave that till the end, Dennis. All right. Well, the next one that we've got here, Eddie Strike. He says, what video editing software do you use? I'm sure lots of people question this.
Yeah, it's Premiere Pro, Adobe, yeah.
And is that Apple or is that available on Windows as well?
It's Apple, I think, just Apple. I mean, there's a couple of higher up there, but it's fine for me as well. It's not that complicated.
Do you use any sound software or do you do all your video editing with that?
Yeah, well, it comes with it, actually. There's bits of things come with it and they have a great sound thing where you can, but I couldn't sort that last one out, usually, you know what I mean? You know, the soundtracks of the German letter to the Catholic, or the newspaper article. But you sorted that one out, thanks very much.
Well, I use Audacity. I use Audacity. If anyone wants to know what I use, is just Audacity.
Well, it's perfectly accurate, but I need to know what exactly to do, and there's no real book on it, is there?
No, I've only learnt just from trial and error over the last 4 or 5 years. Okay, the final question here is from Raymond Taylor. He says, question, anyone know about the Jews having a hand in the Young Turks and the genocide against Armenians, Assyrians and Greeks? Do you know about this, the Young Turks and this genocide?
Well, the Armenians? I've heard they were involved and the Young Turks fought on Jewish side and the Ottoman Empire collapsed eventually. But that's all I know, really, because the research of World War II is bad enough and World War I.
The Young Turks were Muslim Jews, basically. Just like we have Converso Jews in Europe, Jews that pretended to be Christian, the Young Turks were Converso Muslim Jews. So they were claiming to be Turks, but they were actually Jews.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
And this, you know, this goes on in every country, doesn't it? You know, the Jews try to pretend to be the same as the people that they're living among. Yeah. Well, all along, they're a separate unit. They're a fifth column.
Yeah, just like Freemasons.
And this Armenian genocide, the Armenians try to get it recognised, but the Jews won't have it because they see it as competition to their narrative about the Holocaust.
No, because I might use that clip in this last episode because when they went over. They needed the money to Ukraine. They wanted to borrow some money. So, what's his name there? But the guy went over there, the Jewish guy. And he said to him, I don't know if you've seen the clip on YouTube, he says, look, don't start with your Holocaust, you know, because it's going to affect ours. And then, oh, yes, I understand. So he gets his loan. But then outside, the wife of this Jew is talking. And somebody just happens to mention, said, it's a bit strong, that, weren't it, from your husband? And she says, oh, yes, he's very, very firm on this, very firm. And he just happened to mention guilt, and she went, we've got to keep that guilt going.
Very important to them. It's very important to them. Crime, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, this is why we've got to have a hollow hoax idol outside the Houses of Parliament. They're going to destroy a public park in order to put a Holocaust idol there to force everybody that goes into the Houses of Parliament to worship the 6 million before they go in. It's the same as in the schools.
what I don't mention is that was on the Germans' back to settle it. Now they're setting to put it on every white man's back.
Well, they're also forcing it into schools. You know, schools have got to have mandatory Holocaust training. They've got to have hoax holograms. That's the latest one, isn't it? The Holocaust survivors holograms to talk to people.
Somebody accuses me of denying the Holocaust on, say, YouTube, I always answer this. I know there was a Holocaust because I know Dresden happened.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? I mean, a Holocaust is a burnt offering. It's a burnt offering. It's when something is burnt to ashes. And it was the Germans that were burnt to ashes. The Jews weren't burnt to ashes. But they have been involved in, as this commenter was saying here about, the genocide of Armenians, Assyrians and Greeks in Turkey. And that was a Jewish operation. And that's why they won't allow it to be classed as a genocide. Because it's competition. Yeah. Same as a Holodomor. Holodomor is not allowed to be classed as that. Yeah. It's all hushed up. We're only allowed to have one victim class, and that's the Jews.
That's right. That's why they get the Holocaust pension, and nobody else in World War II does. But then again, they're never going to get it when you think they're going to wipe us out soon.
Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got these Jews that actually didn't fight in World War II. They were kept safe in these camps, or they escaped
on the beach in Florida
to other countries, and they get all these reparations. And all the people that did actually fight and died in World War II, they don't get anything. What about the 17 million Germans? What about all the British that died, all the French that died? They don't get anything.
Yeah.
They don't get any monuments. They don't get a special pension. All these Jews do.
It tells you who won the war, and being as they backed communism, communism won the war.
Yeah, they certainly did. All right, Dennis, that brings us to the end of the podcast this week. Thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going, and you can donate us Bitcoin at the Bitcoin wallet that's at the bottom of every article. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next Friday, and of course, we do hope you all have a great weekend ahead of you.